Everyone, I would encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 18. As we will consider the lesson, Abraham came near and said. Beginning in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1, we read that Yahweh, the Lord, the true and living God, appeared to Abraham. Beginning in chapter 16, or chapter 18, verse 16, the two angels of chapter 19, verse 1, rise and look toward Sodom. Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should not be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. In chapter 19, verse 23, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife, Lot's wife, looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw and behold the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. And he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. I want to encourage us to think about two things this morning. Number one, Abraham talked to God, which by definition is what we do when we pray. Abraham talked to God on behalf of Sodom, Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, and Lot. When you talk to God on behalf of others, by definition, that is intercession. Abraham is acting as an intercessor. He is interceding. He is making a plea that is known by the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 2 as intercession. By definition, intercession has to do with going. To go to. And that is why we are calling our lesson this morning, Abraham Came Near. Abraham came near and said. He moved closer to the Lord on behalf of others. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, and in Isaiah 41, 8, and in James 2, 23, the Holy Spirit refers to Abraham as the friend of God. I want you to be impressed with the fact that even the friend of God drew near to God in humility. Who am I to approach you? I am but dust and ashes. Don't be angry with me as I speak to you. Don't be angry with me one more time. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and in verses 1 through 6, we have been called as the people of God in covenant with Jesus through the Holy Spirit to be a people who are devoted to prayer. And so in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, we read, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." I want us to pause for a moment this morning as we consider Genesis chapters 18 and 19. And I want us to think about who Abraham was interceding for. In Genesis, the 13th chapter, we are told that the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. In 2 Peter 2 and in Jude, In Romans 1, we learned that the men were given over to sexual practices that were contrary to nature. And so there are some, not all, but there are some who, when they think about the sins that the people of Sodom were guilty of, they recoil. And their body language communicates what is on their heart. And what is on their heart when they recoil is, that's disgusting. That's awful. That's gross. And I want us to consider this morning that that is not at all helpful to those who struggle with that particular desire and temptation. That is not the spirit of Jesus. So by way of self-examination this morning, have you ever had a sinful desire? Self-righteousness is not righteousness. In Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 9, Jesus taught a parable in which, when he finished, you know, the people that came out of the auditorium into the foyer who were wont to say, Jesus, were you talking about me? Then Jesus could have answered them honestly, yes. Yes, I was. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. By contrast, the tax collector, standing afar off, he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus tells us the right conclusion, the right takeaway from the parable. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The tax collector went to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In Abraham's prayer on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain and Lot, in his intercessory prayer on their behalf, he appeals to the justice of God. Not to the mercy, not to the grace. He appeals to His justice. He says to Him, I know that You are the righteous and just judge of all the earth. Would You, as a just and righteous God, would You really destroy the righteous with the wicked? Is that a just thing to do? Is that a righteous thing to do? Suppose there are 50. Suppose there are 40. Suppose there are 10. Self-righteousness is not righteousness. I want us to all turn and to consider two Old Testament scriptures that will shed some light onto why God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. If you're not wont to turn to the Scriptures with me, be wont now. Isaiah chapter 3 and Jeremiah chapter 23. Isaiah chapter 3 and Jeremiah chapter 23. As we continue to consider the progressive revelation of God, how God began in Genesis 1:1, and over the course of time, in various ways through various men in different languages, revealed Himself and revealed His will from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 21. God is revealing Himself, His will for our lives. And according to the Holy Spirit in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, He is giving unto us by His grace, because of His great love for us, all things that pertain to life and godliness. So when we come to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9, we are given some insight into why God chose to rain fire and brimstone down on those peoples. Isaiah 3, verse 9. The look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. What are we to take away from Isaiah 3, verse 9 about Sodom? In two words, there was no remorse. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did was hide in the bushes. There's no hiding in Sodom. Genesis 13 reveals to us that they're exceedingly wicked. Yahweh says of them that their sin is very grave. It's burdensome. It's heavy. Isaiah 3:9 tells us that they didn't try to hide it. They were declaring it. There was no remorse. What does Jeremiah 23 tell us? Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. By definition, what does it mean to turn back from? It means to repent. I submit to you this morning, my beloved brethren, for your consideration, that God did not rain fire and brimstone down upon Sodom because of the sexual sins that those folks were guilty of. He rained fire and brimstone down upon them because there was no remorse and there was no repentance. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It leads to repentance, and repentance results in forgiveness of sin. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, and this statement is made numerous times in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. I draw that one to your attention because if you do look that one up and you look at the context of it, you will see that the heart of God is not set on the destruction of people because He likes it. Ezekiel 33, verse 11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We do, don't we? We like that. In our self-righteousness, we like that. We want to be the hero of the Count of Monte Cristo. We want to get revenge. We want to take vengeance on our enemies. We want the people who have rejected us to get fire rained down on them from heaven. We like that, don't we? I mean, we keep Hollywood going by watching all the videos and TV shows and movies that they make about that sort of thing, and we have this vicarious participation in it, and We cheer on the good guy who's giving people what they deserve. Lot did not deserve to be saved. And neither do I. That is the message of Romans 5. In Romans, the 5th chapter, the Holy Spirit communicates to us that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. He died for us while we were His enemies. He died for us before we were remorseful, before we repented. So what is the takeaway from all this morning? Do you love your family? Lot was Abraham's nephew. Most of you know my nephews. At one time they swung from the lights here in this auditorium. I have another nephew on Amberley's side that has more sense than the Hindleys. You love your family? Talk to God on their behalf. Do you love lost souls? May I say to you about the sins that the men of Sodom were guilty of? For your consideration. Do any of us choose what we will be tempted by? I know this, and I have full assurance of faith in this. We do choose what to do with those desires. And these men chose to have no remorse. They chose not to repent, and God rained fire and brimstone down upon them. Why is Abraham praying for the whole lot of them? That's a bad pun, I know, but why is he praying for the whole lot of them? Because he loved his family and he loved lost souls. And he knew God. He knew the true and living God. He knew He was just and He knew He was righteous. And He knew in His justice and in His righteousness that it would be absolutely right for Him to destroy the wicked. Later, David will know this about God as well. And he'll have a family member who's caught up in sin, and he will plead with those who are seeking to deal with his son in a just and righteous way. He will plead with them in 2 Samuel chapter 19. Please deal gently with the young man, for he is my son. If it is my son, or if it is my nephew, I want the prayer of Habakkuk 3 verse 2 to be true. In wrath, I want my God to remember mercy. And that is the second thing that I want us to consider this morning from this. God saved Lot from this judgment because of Abraham. God remembered Abraham and He saved Lot from this judgment. By way of encouragement, to talk to God on behalf of your family and of of lost souls, draw near to God and talk to Him, intercede for them and pray that in wrath He would remember mercy. And consider this, God was willing to listen to Abraham and consider sparing Sodom for 10 people. So what's the conclusion to the story? The conclusion to the story is, there weren't 10 righteous people in Sodom. I mean, just stop and think about that for a minute. You know, our building's in Annandale, and we refer to ourselves as the Annandale Church because this is where we are right now, but very few of us live in Annandale. I mean, we're all spread out all over the DMV. We have people who drive from Maryland to worship with us. They're part of our church. We have people that live in Annandale. We have people that live in Clifton. We have people that live in the district. When you think about the DMV, I would submit to you that in my judgment, there are 10 righteous people all over the place here. The Lord knows. And furthermore, the Lord knows those who are His. When we consider the rest of the story, Abraham went up early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, 19:27 of Genesis. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw and behold the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. God was willing to listen to Abraham and consider sparing Sodom for 10. And while there weren't 10 righteous souls in Sodom, God did remember Abraham and He saved Lot. And I want to tell you this morning, if you've never turned to a scripture in your life, turn to Ephesians 4 verse 32 with me this morning. And if you have never highlighted a scripture in your Bible, then highlight this one. And if you don't use a yellow highlighter like I do, if you're liberal and off the reservation and you use a fluorescent one or a different color one, or if you highlight things in your heart instead of in your Bible, then take Ephesians 4 verse 32 and put this in the forefront of your mind and your heart and your soul and spirit and body. God remembered Abraham and saved Lot from this judgment. We need to remember that we are being saved from judgment as God remembers Christ. My salvation is dependent upon God in Christ forgiving me. Period. There is a righteousness that is my own, but my hope is not built upon that. My hope is built upon His righteousness and the fact that my God and Father accepted His sacrifice on my behalf at Calvary when I believe. Romans 3 verses 21 through 26 communicate to us that it doesn't matter what the sin is. Beginning in Romans 1, verse 18, there are sins, plural, and some of them, by definition, they are unnatural. They are perverse. But that's not the only kind of sin that 'll keep you out of heaven. In 1 John 5, the disciple whom Jesus loved talked about the sin that leads to death. And my considered opinion about that verse is, my beloved brethren, is that the sin that leads to death is the sin that you're not willing to be remorseful over and to repent of. And that is the conclusion of the whole matter in Romans 3. For we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and the only hope that we have is Christ Jesus. There is a wrath to come, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And the only hope that we have in being delivered from the wrath that is to come, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, is Christ Jesus. And so in wrath, my prayer for myself is that my God and Father would remember mercy, and that He would be merciful to me on the day of judgment in Christ. Because that's where my life is. It is hidden in Him. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. When we think about Jesus in light of all this, Matthew 9, 9 through 17 comes to mind. Matthew 11, verse 19. And what those passages communicate to us is that Jesus was the friend of sinners. You know what? What we ought to take away from that is that the people who referred to Him as the friend of sinners, they weren't paying Him a compliment. They were saying to Him, we know that this guy is not somebody we ought to be listening to, because just and righteous people, they don't have anything to do with sinners. And the reason why they could make that accusation against Jesus that He was the friend of sinners is because He was the friend of sinners. But you know what Jesus said to sinners that He was friends with? He said, unless you repent, you too will perish. Luke 13, 1 through 3. Jesus didn't soft soap the will of God, but He loved people. And He wanted them to be saved. And He knew that if they were to be saved, then they were going to have to be remorseful and they were going to have to repent. Because that is the will of God in Christ Jesus for everyone. Everyone has been tempted. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has fallen short of God's glory. And so in John the 8th chapter, when they bring someone to Jesus who is guilty of sexual sin, the first thing Jesus says to her accusers is, how many of you good brothers has never been guilty of yielding to a desire of the flesh? Those of you who have never been guilty of submitting to the temptation that falls into the category of a desire of the flesh, take up a stone and let's go ahead and let's bring the heat. Capital punishment, death penalty. Let's lay the hammer down. And boy, they were ready for it. That is why the Holy Spirit tells us that one by one, they dropped their rocks. Because they understood at that moment what we better understand in this one, that self-righteousness is not righteousness. So when they all walked away and there's this big pile of rocks left and this woman, Jesus looks up at her and He says, where are all your accusers? Her response is, well, they're gone. And He says, well, neither do I condemn you. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Let's all just build a campfire and sing Kumbaya and dance around it together in just one sweet world in Christ Jesus. Go and sin no more. That's the heart of Jesus. And that is the heart that we need to have as we seek not to get people of our day told, but to win them to Jesus. There is not a sin that you have committed that God will not forgive if you are remorseful and you repent with godly sorrow and you ask for forgiveness. That is the God we serve. And when you try to make sense of Sodom and Gomorrah and why did He rain down fire and brimstone upon them and why didn't He do that to all these other wicked cities, you consider the prophet Isaiah and you consider the prophet Jeremiah and you understand this. God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9, but that all would come to repentance. The first word out of John the Baptist's mouth was repent. The first word out of Jesus' mouth was repent. The first word out of Peter's mouth on the day of Pentecost, after they confess that they are guilty of crucifying the Son of God, repent. If we are remorseful and if we repent, then we too can be saved in Christ Jesus. And so some prayers we might pray for ourselves as we consider our temptations. Save me from myself. Give me a heart that desires what you desire. And forgive me for wanting what is not good. If the Sodomites had been remorseful and prayed those prayers, I believe they would have been spared the fire and the brimstone. And I believe if we pray those prayers, we will be too. When the Son of Man returns in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God and have not obeyed His gospel. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the acceptable time. Salvation in Christ is available here and now, and the only thing keeping you from being near Him is unforgiven sin. Why was Abraham able to draw near to God? Because he didn't have any sin? We read about his sin in Genesis 13. Then we read about his sin in Genesis 20. Why was Abraham able to draw near? Because his sin was forgiven. That is the basis in which a sinful, unholy, unrighteous people can approach a God who is holy in the absolute through sacrifice and sanctification, and that is who Christ Jesus is. He is our Passover. He is our sacrifice. We are sanctified in Him. We are cleansed by His blood. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Come to Jesus while we stand and while we sing to encourage you.